cometh the hour, cometh the max. Lestienne rescues the Lion City sailors once again, but will the Belgian be on our shores beyond 2023?
Elsewhere, the Stags fall prey to the Tigers, so just what went wrong for Gavin and Co?
And it's the talk of the town. What needs to change for Singapore football to arrest its alarming slump?
It's time for the SPL podcast, and you won't want to miss this one.
Hi everyone, this is Farah.
And this is Raushan.
Raushan? Okay. Now before we jump into the SPL proper, I'll let you know why Raushan is sighing there. It would be a miss for us to not address the elephant in the room, and that is the early, although somewhat expected, exit from the SEA Games for both our men's and women's national team. Perhaps you've already read a column in the Straits Times titled, Dear FAS, It's Time to Be Honest, seeking accountability and honesty from the governing body. Well, if you haven't, don't worry, because here is our very own Deepan Raj Ganesan speaking to Money FM about his heartfelt and hard-hitting article.
It's a long time coming, a piece like this. It's not something that I've written just because our young Lions have once again failed to get out from the group stage. It's more an overall look at, you know, how Singapore football has been ailing, you know, over the last decade or so. What my aim is for the wider public to really be more aware of the various issues at play here. And one of them was, you know, like I alluded to, a lack of a good preparation. I think what really needs to be done now is for the noise to build around the FAS, for them to realize that, you know, we are at a point where we have to change something or else we lose our fans. And if you lose your fans, there's no way of coming back, you know, because it's going to take a long, long, long time before you get the buy-in from your main stakeholders, which is your fans. And that's where I'm coming at. I think that there needs to be accountability, which means that if you have failed at doing something, you correct it and you ensure that the same mistake doesn't happen again. If this is happening year on year and year on year, where is the accountability, you know? So are our FA leaders listening to the technical people? These are the people who know football, you know? These are the people who are coaches who you should trust, you know? The opinion of someone who has been parachuted in with a military background does not help Singapore football. You got to listen to the technical people. You can be a decision maker. I'm not saying that you need to be a former footballer to be at the top to make decisions. But what I'm saying is listen to the advice of the people who know what they're talking about.
Yep, always good to hear from Deepan, who, quite frankly, is never afraid to say it how it is, right? I do urge you to go pick up the StraitsTimes.com article and read it, because it is quite hard-hitting and heartfelt, to say the least. Speaking of which, we'll be hoping our guest today can be as heartfelt and hard-hitting. Khairul Ashraf joins us on the call. Great to have you on the show, Khairul.
Thank you for inviting me again, and glad to give my opinion, my 5 cents or 2 cents worth. This time round, yeah.
Some will argue $5 or $50 even. Now, Khairul, sorry to start the show on such a somber mode, but it's a sorry state of affairs, the state that Singapore football finds itself in. I'm talking about the wider national team outlook, right? But before we dive into the SPL proper, I just want to get your opinion on Singapore football. Is it a lack of honesty and accountability the main issue behind the state of affairs across the national teams? And it's across the age groups as well.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned about the somber mode. I for a fact feel that this year somehow football have been a little bit somber, and the league hasn't gone to the heights of last year. I felt that last year we had a good season. This year the start wasn't so good. The quality of the league is not as good as last year, I feel, even with DPMM this year. And then, of course, our national teams have been struggling at every front this year. I mean, if we were here last year we would still be hung over the Tiger Suzuki Cup, the Mitsubishi Cup, that we know we were still in the semifinals. But this year, we don't see any semifinals in our national team, right? Even the Malayan Cup that we hosted, we couldn't be in a playoff situation. Yeah, I mean, in general, I mean, I have to put it out really, really bluntly, that our football has always been a cloud. We really never knew what's the decision making process inside. I mean, of course, we don't expect everything to be everything to be transparent and shared to the public, right? Just like how governments work and stuff. But in our football, I think it's a group thing. A select few people are making decisions. And to be fair, especially when we talk about the Expo, Tava has done his part, right? He's not supposed to be there anymore. Our godfather, Uncle Theo, he has done so much for football, but he's not supposed to be there anymore, right? And then we really have doubts with people like our interim president. Is he the right man to run? Why is he there by default? And then, of course, we have our captain Razali Saad. How much have we heard about him talk about football? Does he express his views? He's the only football guy in there, right? I mean, he's the only ex-national player, ex-captain in there. And then we have Ben Teng from Geylang also in the committee. What are they exactly doing? What are the plans that they are actually putting out? We don't know. And this is the problem, because maybe they are there not for the benefit of football. I for a fact, I have had my run-ins with Baihaqi, but in recent days, in recent months, in recent years, I've had conversations with him. And if he's there now, he's doing planning now, he needs to be heard. He needs to take leadership. Well, people need to get him into leadership roles, give him a chance. We've been banging on ex-football players putting in their worth into the administration. And okay, he has done his FIFA course and FIFA management course and whatever not, right? So give him a chance, right? So this is the time that I think someone like him, right, could affect things more positively. Would affect things on a technical level, would affect things on a sporting level, rather than appeasing here, appeasing Sport Singapore, appeasing the government, appeasing the schools. So, you need someone who can really, really be a bit brash, be a bit to the front, media friendly also, so that the media knows what is happening, rather than everything is being put down under the rug. So this is the problem. Right, we do not have people at the right places. Right, even to be honest, right, in my point of view, as much as Uncle Theo has done well for Tampines Rovers, Tava has done well for Balestier, in terms of surviving a dead club. But are they really people who are supposed to be leading this? Do they know how to administer football at that level, at a federation level? Do they go out to see how football is done? At most, what they do is they get invitations by FIFA, they get invitations by AFC to be on conferences, on World Cups, on AFC Cups. They enjoy 3-4 days. And what do they do after that? Do they have the necessary knowledge? Right? So this is the problem. We don't have people with knowledge. And when people with knowledge comes in, it becomes a blank wall. So this is the problem right at the top. If you do not have leadership, to me, the problem with Singapore football is leadership. Right? You can't blame the footballers who are trying very hard. You can't blame the coaches. Of course, I have been a coach before. There are also times where I feel that our coaches are a lazy lot, right? 70%, 30% are very hardworking, but 70% are a lazy lot. But the problem lies here. And we need to rectify this before our next election, which is coming close. Do we really want the same people again being our leaders? Are we still going to do the idiots thing to repeat all the mistakes again? So this is where I'm coming from. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you make some excellent points, Khairul. You bring up Tava and Uncle Theo, who are legends in their own right in terms of what they've done for Singapore football. But my question then is, are we just asking for accountability and honesty, or do we actually need some fresh impetus, some fresh ideas to come in to try and resurrect what is the situation now? But Khairul, I assure you, at some point, the final whistle will allocate an entire podcast just for the state of Singapore football. Quite honestly, it needs it, right? But for now, let's move on to the SPL, shall we?
Yep. Yes, we shall, and we should start with our review of match week 10. And I guess the biggest talking point of last weekend is the Stags unbeaten no more. The upset of the weekend on Friday night as they fell prey to the Tigers, Blessed Khalsa defeating Tampines Rovers 3-2. And I guess let's just come straight into it. Khairul, were you just as surprised as the rest of us?
The result, probably, yeah. But, you know, Balestier has shown a lot of stability this year, right? And, of course, the league doesn't show that they are top two, right? Top three. But at least we can see things have built on from Akbar's time, right? Akbar created a very idealist philosophy where they wanted to play football a certain way. And Peter comes in and brought in a bit of pragmatism. I mean, both of them are my clients, right? So I am being very objective here. But Peter has brought a bit of pragmatism and effectiveness into the game, right? And I think it's testament also to the philosophy, to the journey. At least you know right now, Balestier, when they lost Akbar, right? Even though Akbar was trying to do something for the philosophy of the club, it was a very fresh look for the club. It was the right employment, I felt, right? And then came Peter, who, I mean, to be fair, you know, for with European pedigree and experience in Asia, in Australia, in Malaysia, at a different level. So you could see that a lot of things are a bit more stable. And of course, you can't change too many things. There's a reality there. Balestier is still a club with a certain amount of budget, right? They do not have an enormous budget. There's the level of players that they can get is not LCS level or Hougang level, to be fair, right? But they are on the right journey. And I think, you know, teams like this, they will have their own their good days where they will be able to get Tampines on a day like that day. Yeah. And I think it's, to me, okay, we can say that it's not really a day off also for Tampines, but it was actually a day on for Balestier because they came on right from the start. And I like the fact that the attacking triangular of Brian, Daniel and Jumbo and they are really gelling very well, and you can see Daniel is a different animal this season, right? Yeah, so this is very positive. You need good coaches to improve players, and you can see that these players have been are playing well. They are also improving beyond their levels.
Khairul, you talk about this Balestier triangle up front, and I've been quite impressed by Jumbo, Daniel and Rioya as well. But because Peter Diru is your client, has he spoken to you about possibly shoring up that defense? Because clearly that's where the problem lies for Balestier, right? They have no issues going forward. They have good structure, but defensively, Madu was still a bit of a liability against his former club, and Fabian can't be the long-term answer there.
Yeah. I think they are looking at options, I think, in June, right? But I'm not actually sure what's available, you know. I think one thing about the Singapore League is in mid-season, you don't see a lot of movement, right? And it really needs a very shrewd general manager or coach or technical director or sporting director, whichever person who is involved in the recruitment in our Singapore clubs, to really find someone. And it's very difficult to do that in mid-season in Singapore. Yeah, but hopefully, I don't know, maybe they could find a synergy and also tweak a little bit of how they play and how to make things tighter. But on the whole, I like the look of Balestier this season, and I hope they really get onto the AFC slots this year.
You know, on the movement, right, Khairul, we're going to move on to our next topic, our next biggest talking point of match week 10. And we might or might not see this guy come the end of the season. A few days later, after that Tampines Balestier game, another upset seemed to be on the cards at our Tampines Hub, with Geylang leading against the Lion City Sailors. But yeah, cometh the hour, cometh the man, or Max in this case, Lestien with not one but two stunning free kicks to seal a 2-1 win and allow the Sailors to keep pace at the top of the table. Now, Khairul, we've spent plenty of time talking about Max's brilliance. So instead of waxing lyrical over the Belgian, we would like to ask you about his long-term future, and considering you had a part to play in his arrival to our shores.
Yeah.
Your contract is up at the end of the year. Are the Sailors any closer to striking a deal to extend his stay here?
I think you know, because there were two parts of the deal, right? I mean, the two parties to the deal. So there is his agent that has been with him since he was 16, and then there was me, right, who also intermediary the deal together for Lion City, right? So I think you know, the job of the intermediary is always to manage expectations, right? And over here, the expectation is a top player from Europe, 6 months before their contract ends, 7 months before their contract ends, the agreements have been made, right? But in our local culture or in Southeast Asian culture, it doesn't really work like that. And even for contractual purposes, right, you have to look, it's a 3 months before in Singapore, right? So this is the expectation that I, as someone who is in the middle of the middle, right, had to mediate and make everybody understand. So that's why we have to make sure that on the player side, they understand that the culture of us is always to talk 3 months before, not 7-8 months before. And for me to be speaking to with Lion City, to make them understand that this client, yeah, they and the fact that he has already been in Asia playing Champions League well and everything, we really have eyes from Japan and Saudi, and yeah. But the thing is, Max is very happy here, and Max wants to stay here. So that's why there is this. He wants to get the conversation early. So I need to also make the Lion City understand that we need to make these conversations earlier as possible. But we have decided on speaking soon. I think in a month's time, we will start speaking again, right? So I'm sure Lion City understands the importance of Max for the club. And of course, to a certain point, maybe Forrest also understands that, you know, Forrest is someone who I want him to be in our leadership, football leadership. And with that mentality, I think he would also understand that Max is someone we need for our local football. Right? So I don't see a lot of problems there, but I think I can only share more after maybe 1.5 months time, yeah, about Max. But trust me, you know, I will be working my ass off to have him stay here for another 2-3 years.
Khairul, mark your calendars, because we're going to call you back in that 1.5 months time on the podcast. But Roshan, with everything Khairul has just said, surely the Sailors cannot afford to lose a player like Maxim Nastian with his skill and quality.
Yeah, they certainly cannot. What is it? 8 goals, 8 assists already. We are, 10 games into the season. He has shown that he is worth the hype, right? We've had foreigners come and go, maybe not as big a pedigree as Max Lestien, but foreigners come and go and don't really live up to the billing. I think Max Lestien has ticked all the boxes. It looks like he's the leader of that team, not just from the way he plays, but also in terms of how he plays a part in that dressing room. And it's clear to see that the Lion City Sailors need him as much as he wants to stay, right? But what I like about it is, despite these contract negotiations, and Khairul was excellent in laying out the timeline in terms of Europe, in terms of Asia, I think he continues to deliver on the pitch, and I think the fans will appreciate that a lot. But also because he continues to deliver, then he gets all the bargaining power going through a discussion because it's not like he's floundering at all. But to answer your question, I don't think Sailors can afford to lose him. Budget cuts or not, Forrest Lee needs to be aware that they've had Kim Shin-wook come in and go and leave. So he... Right now, Max Lestien is the one star in the SPL. There's no two ways about it, right? If the Sailors end up botching the negotiations and end up losing him, then it might become a problem of them scrambling to find another such idol or hero in that team. So I think that's a big problem for the Sailors. I do think they need to address it and try and keep Max in the league. And from a very selfish fan perspective, I think we need him to stay in the league just so we sell tickets to SPL games. Because yes, the Sailors project will draw fans, but is Maxim Nastian getting the bums off the seat and getting fans excited about football once again?
As you said, right, I think you tweeted it, Roshan. He's a cheat code.
I think I did.
Yeah, right. But okay, we'll speak a little bit more about the Lion City Sailors in a bit. Right now, let's move on to match week 11 in the SPL, which will be a three-game match week starting this Friday. Hougang United up against Geylang International at our Tampines Hub. Kickoff 7:45 p.m. Now, brand new coach, same old Hougang, it seems, as Marco's tenure began with a trouncing at the hands of Albirex Niigata. But is this match against Geylang perhaps the one where Marco will make an impression for the Cheetahs, who, quite frankly, need to get some points on the board, Khairul?
Yeah, you know, I'm not very optimistic about Hougang. I mean, you know, Hougang was on a journey, right? To be honest, I wasn't... You know, when we have Noah Lee on a how many 10-match streak and Gavin and whoever else, those coaches were given a chance. I mean, of course, I spoke against Noah Lee before, right? I didn't speak against Gavin because I was very sure of Gavin's process, right? But I mean, now we're talking about Hougang and Geylang. And Geylang is in a good place right now, actually, to be honest. Right? I think they have stabilized and, you know, they brought in good players, decent players to sort of finally find a good jigsaw, to find the correct combination. Right? I think before, I think Noali always had problems with, you know, not having a striker, not having this, not having that, you know, overloaded in certain positions. But this year, it looks a bit more balanced, even though I feel that, you know, he could do with a target man also, right? But so far, it looks okay. Right? So, but Hougang, you know, I felt that Fidaus should have been given time. That's my opinion. I mean, also again, not because he's a client of mine, but of course, it's very important for a new philosophy to be set. Clement had a different philosophy, totally different philosophy. And you could see that it was implemented a little bit, right? At the cup run, or what Fidaus wanted to do. And then in this season, they had to make changes. They had to make changes because they couldn't get a proper striker in, right? Yeah, so it needed a little bit of time and it needed a little bit of trust. For me, I felt that, you know, if they needed to change players, they need to change players for the attacking force, because Hougang has always created more chances this season than most of their opponents. They have always been in the penalty box. They have always had more possession. They have had more corners, amazing number of corners. And yeah, so to me, of course, you know, there's a problem with finishing. And if you're on a journey on this philosophy and then suddenly you get onto an assistant, like Marco now. So I think Marco is now the head coach. And Marco plays a total different philosophy of football. And this will lead to a different problem in the team. And I don't think they can recover at all. Yeah, not to say that Marco is not a bad coach, because Marco has gone to AFC Cup. He have won cups and everything. But I don't think he has the players to play Marco's football. Yeah. And I don't think it can be rectified in a short while, because Fidaus football needed a lot of training, a lot of drills, very, very high mental load training. And then now you go into on a different way, right? It will be totally different also, right? And then the mental load of before was a tactical mental load. Right, Marco is a very typical Croatian hardcore mental coach also. I mean, but in a different way. He does it through physical loading, right? And then he wants to build the mental resolve of the team, right? So this is totally different. And then you will see in the games, in the following games, that it will be a change of philosophy. So I don't think that, you know, even with the 2-week break and whatever not, we can recover this. Yeah. So I still think that Geylang can come in, yeah, and do the job this week. I think they will feel very hard done by the last game against Lion City. I mean, to be honest, that game was I felt it was Geylang's game, and of course, like we mentioned, Max came in with 2 goals. So I think Geylang will edge this. I think not just edge. I think Geylang will manage this game. They'll be able to manage this game, because I feel Hougang now, they are playing a different game and they cannot. They do not create chances. Like last game when they played, they didn't create chances, right? Because they were playing a bit more direct. Even the Japanese centre-backs were just playing diagonal balls to the wings, you know? Yeah, and we know, okay, we already see that some identity of Marco's football. But if there's no one who in the middle of the park who can retain the ball, You know, it's a quick transition back to defense, and then they conceded in set pieces, right? The corner, and then one crazy goal also. A few crazy goals. Yeah. So for me, I feel maybe Geylang will take this 3-1.
Yeah, I think Khairul hit the nail on the head with most points, especially the one about, you know, having time and thrust, right? I don't think Firdaus got either of those. But on the flip side, Noor Ali got that from this Geylang board that we've asked questions about previously. But right now, looking at the way Geylang have come leaps and bounds since that 10-match winless streak that Noor Ali went under, it's quite immense. And I'm quite proud of watching Noor Ali work his magic with this Geylang team. Because let's be honest, he hasn't just gone out and bought players the like of Iqbal Hussain, who I've been openly critical about in terms of what he can add to the team. He seems to be a player rejuvenated, and maybe it's recency bias because he's got 2 goals in recent weeks, but he looks like he's willing to play again. I think massive credit needs to go to Noor Ali and his coaching team for being able to cajole that out of a player, right? And we talked earlier about time, having the time to implement a style. I think Marcus going to take a while, but I don't know if Hougang can afford a while because they do need points on the board. They are what, plum last 4 points, I think, all season long. It's difficult. But at least Marco is going on a bit of a, a bit of a manageable run now. They face Geylang, then they go up against Tanjung Pagar, Young Lions and DPMM, which on paper are winnable fixtures, are enough time for Hougang or Marco to try and implement his style on Hougang, because after that, they face the Lion City Sailors and Tampines, which arguably are bigger tests, right? So for Marco's sake, I hope the boys will learn as soon as possible, but this Geylang assignment might just come too soon for Marco, I suspect. Geylang will continue to show the promise they've shown all season long. I think they win this one 2-0.
Nice. All right. Moving on, Saturday night, we'll see Brunei DPMM host the Lion City Sailors at the Jalan Besar Stadium, kickoff 6 p.m. Now, Khairul, we've already spoken about Maxim Lestien, but do you think the over-reliance on him and perhaps Diego Lopez as well might be the Achilles heel for the Sailors this season?
I think for me, the coach has to do a little bit of balance now. You know, I think in certain games, they should take Max and Lopez, either one out, yeah, to put a little bit of pressure onto the team so that the team can not also, I mean, the team also is too reliant on Max and Diego to work things, right? And hopefully, we haven't seen much of the new striker also. I think he's adapting, right? It will take a little bit of time, I think. Yeah, but hopefully Razak is back, right? If Ibini cannot do anything, cannot get onto the groove of the game, Razak can. You know, Max and Razak has always had a good combination as well. Yeah, but for me, I feel there is an over-reliance, yes, on Diego and Max. Right, the team has to be put on a little bit of pressure without them, maybe playing without half without them or something, you know, to and rotate Max on Diego also, you know, because they have been putting in full shifts all the time, right? But I hope that the team comes together as well, because the other day when they were playing Geylang, I think it wasn't really an impressive game that they played. You know, it was in I think the midfield was in shambles. Also, I would love to see Shawal playing more. It's a question mark for me also why Shawal hasn't been playing a lot more. But I think the coach has his own reasons. But for me, I feel that, you know, with Shawal and it will take a little bit load off Max and Diego. You know, I've been working with Shawal for some time, and I know Shawal is someone who is a game player. You know, players, they are two types of players. There's someone who turns up in the training, right, who really excels because they are smart players who understand what every coach wants, and they will do well in training. And then there's players who are really excellent during games. So Shawal is more of the other. You know, in the games, he's always fantastic. Yeah? In the training, sometimes you don't see him. Right, you don't see him in training because trainings are more drills and situations. So in the games, this is where he comes alive. So I hope to see more of him playing, and then you will get more support from both the left flank and the right flank from Max and him, and maybe that would be a time where Ibini can really benefit from this service. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, this game between the Lion City Sailors and Brunei DPMM, because as Khairul touched on with Max and Diego, and then I watched DPMM the last weekend, their fullbacks are well past 35. They are going to struggle for pace. And it's going to be such a fascinating watch looking at Max run at them, Hafiz Noor on the other side. I suspect that Bernie eventually has to break his duck. It has to happen eventually, right? And I, judging by Brunei's performance against Tanjung Pagar, they had a man advantage, but at times I was in commentary, it seemed like they were the one with the man disadvantage. And that's not disservice to Brunei. I just think it's where they are at this season. They do have a bit of an aging defense. I know Hakimi Yazid is a very good player, but apart from that, there's, we talk about LCS relying too much on Max. It almost seems like DPMM rely too much on Varankov. So I think this one will be a fairly straightforward assignment for the Lion City Sailors, purely based on what I've seen of Brunei's defense and the potential that Max offers. Abdul Razak might be too soon. I think we let the boy rest slightly after the SEA Games exertions, maybe come back for the next fixture. But hopefully Bernie will break his duck, because it is crucial that a striker eventually finds goals, especially with the games LCS have coming up. I suspect LCS are going to win this one comfortably. I'm going to take it 4-0 to LCS.
Very nice. Now, finally, Tampines Rovers up against Tanjung Pagar United. That one's on Sunday, 6 p.m. also at our Tampines Hub. Now, this one, better known as the Along Derby, the Alam Shah Derby. Before we talk about the stacks, so let's talk about the Jaguars. Their foreign signings have flattered to deceive. Marin continues to struggle despite scoring against DPMM. And Pedro Diaz, well, the lesser we say about him, the better. While Tanjung Pagar have done pretty well in recruiting locals in the form of Faisal Roslan, Tajeli and Akiudin, Khairul, why have they seemingly got it so wrong when it comes to their foreigners?
I think that we can speak for the region as a whole. Yeah, the region has a very funny way of recruiting talent. There is no specific person who is in charge of finding talent. There are no analysts who finds, who looks, who studies talents. No one who follows talents that they have scouted. So this is a problem. And you see, I've worked with varying kinds of management, right? And a lot of them sometimes they have no clue about football. They totally have no clue about football. Right, so they have no understanding of if someone comes from, say, for example, Croatia Division 3, and then someone who comes from maybe Malta Division 1, what is the level? What is the comparison? What's Romania? What is Slovenia Division 2? You know, so they do not have a clue. You know, every European country seems the same for them, these are the same people who gets into the Exco, who gets onto the council, who makes decisions for our football, right? So at the very least, if you're a club management, you need to know who the people are. And sometimes there's no clear distinction. You know, the management wants this player, right? And then the coaches are tight. They are not able to make the decision. You know, their hands are tight. They cannot make the decision on the players that they want, right? And sometimes the player that they want is, you know, you can have a Serie C player from Brazil, for example, and they have 2 goals that they score in the whole season. But a Serie C player is a different level player from in Brazil, is different player from a Croatia Division 3 or Romania Division 3. Even though he's scoring 10 goals in Romania Division 3, they should pay a visit to countries like that and they see how the leagues are, right? And the reality is some of these players are earning like €500 a month. To get $4,000-$5,000 here in Singapore, it's already a big deal for them, right? So this is the thing. You have to bring players. I mean, I cannot say every player that I bring is a success, but of course we have different spectrum. We have Maxime Lestienne, who's on a different spectrum, but we have a Barry Maguire, who Barry is actually worth $10,000 a month, but we got him on something much lesser at Geylang. Right, so these are the kind of players, and it's not to squeeze the players, but at the end of the day, you need to have personnel who understands where to look and where to find, and not to bring a €500 player here to be earning 5,000. You bring a €10,000 player to bring here, so then you get bigger value. You get a Eredivisie level player, or at least a second level player, second level top league player. So this is the problem here, right? So that's why. What's surprising for me is even Pedro Diaz, he was third division Thailand, you know. So that's, I don't know. I mean, I know for a fact that the technical team didn't have a lot of say in this, right? So it's back to the management. They have to reflect and see whether what do they want from this. You know, at the end of the day, our local players will be our local players. The difference will be the foreigners. And like I said, this year has been one of the worst years of foreigners over the years, right? Yeah. So hopefully they wisen up and they know which agency to come to when they need to find players.
That's exactly why I was laughing. I know it's an audio only podcast, but on the video I was laughing because the short answer to Khairul's very comprehensive answer is basically just go to Khairul for a recommendation, right? Because yeah, I think Khairul, you've brought fascinating insight. We may laugh about it, but I think you brought fascinating insight in terms of the scouting that goes on. It reminds me of a conversation I had some time ago with Fridaus Kasim, actually, in terms of how much time needs to be spent on scouting a player. It's not just about recommendations or being forced. And sorry to say this, but Tanjung Pagar have really not covered themselves in any glory in terms of the players. Watching Marin Mudrazija, he looks isolated up front. Pedro Diaz, yes. I didn't even know he came from Thai third division, but when you said it, I wasn't overly surprised because, come on, like there are locals who can play better than you. And when you're a foreigner, you expect to bring a certain level to a team. So it's a bit shocking. And I think that's going to be Tanjung Pagar's problem all season long, because we've harped on about them having this kampung spirit. I just feel right now they look to be playing in different wavelengths, a lot of them. Blake is doing his own thing. Mirko Sujic is doing his own thing. The defense, Shaki Hamza, is taking the ball and running. I mean, he's their top scorer with 3 goals. But is that really what you bring in a defender for, right? So, yeah, it's not syncing up for Tanjung Pagar. And I think that's going to be a big problem. And that would fall nicely into Tampines Rovers' hands going into this weekend, because Gavin was at the stadium when Tanjung Pagar played DPMM, scouting Tanjung Pagar. And I'm sure if my layman eyes can pick up all these problems with Tanjung Pagar, someone as wily as Gavin would have already picked out the problems that Tanjung Pagar have and how they are going to take advantage of it. I fully suspect that Tampines Rovers will return to winning ways, and I hope for the league's sake they do, because they need to keep the title race interesting. It can't be just Albrecht showing up every year, right? I suspect Tampines will get the job done against Tanjung Pagar, who are in for a very difficult season. Tampines to win this one 3-0.
Khairul, you haven't given us your predictions on this one yet. Are you with Roshan on this one? Will they bounce back after last weekend's shock loss?
I think it will be more. I think, you know, I haven't seen much of Boris this year, right? So I hope it's, you know, it's like, you know, you shake a ketchup bottle, this is the time it explodes, you know. Hopefully, because I haven't seen much of him. So hopefully this is the game that he scores a hat-trick, possibly for 4-0, 5-0 win. Yeah.
Very nice. Okay. Again, we are laughing because just last weekend, Roshan had his say about Boris and how he has been disappointed in Boris so far this season. So I guess you found someone in Khairul who has the same. But anyways,
I'm also laughing because the analogy was brilliant. A ketchup bottle, you shaking it. I feel like Tanjung Pagar in for a ride. Because if a bad Boris can get 2 goals, I'm sure Boris with full service is going to end up doing quite well against Tanjung Pagar. Sorry, Farah, as you were.
No. Very nice. Thank you, guys. But you know, we've come to this point where it's an unfortunate time again where we unfortunately have to say goodbye. A massive thank you to Khairul for coming on today and sharing with us his insights, as always. Again, Khairul, don't forget, in 1 month, 1.5 months time, we're going to come back on the pod.
Roshan, exactly.
Roshan, also, thank you so much for your insights for this episode of the pod. Don't forget, your opinions are just as valuable, so you can share them with us on our Telegram as well as our socials at The Final Whistle, at Roshan Says, at Farah Nair, and at Khairul Ashraf if you want to as well. Till next time, guys. Bye-bye.